what she yelling for? Lay back, it's all been done before. Hey guys, what's up? Thank you so much for tuning back in. Before we hop in into our worst and best week ever winners, I wanted to just let you know that my Instagram got hacked. I regained it back. All is good now. I do have a backup account. I'll see if I can put it on the show notes. Best Week Ever Pod. And of course, we are under Best Week Ever Podcast. Very confusing, I know. And also some hack account, I guess. Same people who tried to hack my account has been going, I guess, as a new account, the Best Week Ever Pod, and that is not me. So if you are getting a follow from that account, I don't know, just report them. And it's just getting weird out there, guys. I don't know how else to say it. The news already freaks me out so much. And yeah, also update with the Kate Middleton, like, okay, so we're not really going to get into it with my guests this episode, but I thought before we do, I'd come in here and let you know my thoughts of the whole Kate Middleton of it all. And of course, it's sad that she had to announce that she had cancer, but I think I feel like I was almost on the nose. Obviously, thank God it's not an ED, and it's, you know, she did need a break of some sort for her health. And yeah, I really do think that she just needed space, and the firm did all those crazy wackadoodles run around about of these videos with the doubles and the fake AI Mother's Day photo, like that all, like, I can't really blame Kate Middleton, because I bet you my bottom dollar that she probably had no hands on that whatsoever. And I completely put blame on the firm, just like I told Emily Hanks an episode last week. Time right now is a blur. Really, that whole Instagram thing being hacked really has put me in some sort of roller coaster that time somehow, ever since I had a kid, does not exist. But yes, the whole Kate Middleton of it all, of her coming out and people feeling bad, I don't feel bad. I know Noor from Reality Is. Please follow her. She's hilarious. And she is always on the nose about the shit. but yeah, she was saying, I don't feel bad because they are in the public eye. Like, we, well, not us Americans, but the English people pay their taxes to them for some reason still to this day. They really don't have to, but they owe the people whatever they're going through some sort of background information. And it would have been great if they didn't just go around about it in some stupid, creepy way with all these videos and TMZ photos and just, like, I don't know, is this some sort of, it really does explain a lot of what Harry has said in his memoir. And yeah, and of course, like, Meghan was right this whole entire time, and the fact that people are still, like, going hard for Meghan, I'm just like, people are so unwell. Are we okay? Are we okay out there? Do we need to take a Danny Pellegrino, like, deep breath before we start this episode? But please enjoy this episode, guys. I had so much fun with Arthur from Two Cents Critic podcast. At the end, it did get cut off a little bit, but I'm hoping that it did come out okay for you guys to hear his clips and his plugins for his podcast. But other than that, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Tell me why the girl make things so complicated. I see the way you're acting like you're somebody else gets me frustrated. Life's like this, you have.
Welcome back, guys, to another week of Best Week Ever podcast, where we discuss who's having the worst and best week ever in pop culture. This week, I'm super excited. I am having a guest that I've actually appeared on their podcast. His name is Arthur. I've told you to listen to this episode. We got to talk about a book, and please, please, please follow his podcast, Two Cents Critic podcast, and follow his Instagram. It would all be in the show notes. Arthur, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited to be on your show today, Vanessa. Just really glad to be back with you after, after we had talked about our book, When No One Is Watching. That's what we discussed on the podcast, When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole, and that was a great discussion. And now just having, I'm always excited to get back into podcasting, and maybe a little nervous, just talking about stuff, but overall excited to get into podcasting, especially with our subject today. I feel like I've got some good picks here, some interesting discussion meets topics to talk about.
Yeah, no, same. I feel like I'm probably going to bring up some stuff that I missed out on last week because I feel like this week was a little bit, I don't know, it's just been very dry when it's been about pop culture outlet news, especially when we are trying to distract ourselves from real news like the world burning on fire. But let's get into it with the worst week ever honorable mentions. Who do you have this week for your worst week ever honorable mentions?
Well, for my honorable mentions, I have a couple, and I'll list off one first. I want to give more focus to this one is Late Night with the Devil, and that is a movie that I've picked for this one. And which, by the way, like this just developed, like this the news for this just came out yesterday, and so it is still developing. Maybe it'll be a bit dated. Who knows what other developments will come out after we record. But basically, for anyone who doesn't know about this, it's a movie that is coming out. It's a horror movie, and it's found footage horror. It focuses on this TV broadcast from a late night talk show where spooky crap happens, supernatural crap, and it's kind of like a ghost watch. If anyone's seen that, it's like a ghost watch kind of movie. And I was really excited for it. It was probably one of my most anticipated movies of the year. But then there's news that came out about the movie, how it uses AI, specifically in a few of these interstitial shots. Like apparently like these shots that pop up in the movie as part of the commercial breaks. And AI was used to make these shots, these pieces of art. And it has just been fascinating to watch this topic develop online on Twitter, and I'm just really disappointed that AI is being used in a movie like this, because it's like this indie, it's like an indie budget, an indie budget horror movie that, again, I was really pumped for, and it looked really creative and clever. But now it's like, oh, you're using AI here. And I feel like there is a tendency to be like, oh, well, AI, it was just used for a few specific shots in this movie. It's not like AI is all over the movie. But I just really feel like this is AI we're talking about being used in Hollywood. And I feel like we need to put a firm foot down on this, because if we don't do that, if we don't put a firm foot down on this and stop it right here, like, hey, no, this is bad. You can't do this. You can't use AI when you could have just hired a graphic designer to make these shots.
A
If you
hundred
don't put a firm foot down on
percent.
this, then where does the line? What is the end? Where do we put down the line? It's gonna go further. It could creep further and further forward. Oh, let's use a few more shots. Oh, let's use a few more shots. Oh, next, let's use some AI to create. To compose a bit of the score, or let's use AI to do a bit of the cinematography, and eventually AI could just overtake Hollywood like that. And it's just so disappointing. It's so frustrating. Again, I really was excited for this movie too, and it's like this is happening.
No, I completely agree
And
with you because I feel like this movie, because I did see it on Twitter on my feed because of the news of it having using AI. It's like almost like, see, it's okay. Like you can use it too. And like it's almost giving it like an okay when really like the industry is fighting so hard for this type of typical okayness for AI to be used in the industry, because you are so right. Where's the line? Because the line keeps moving, right?
Yes.
But
I,
so terrible, because I did see that it is a supernatural kind of a movie. The trailer didn't really interest me, but the fact that it did use, AI, it just made me disappointed, very disappointed.
Yeah, definitely, because I again, you could have just hired a graphic designer. There's actually someone on Twitter. I think the account is Summer Rae, who actually did their own drawing, like their own version of the shot, was like a skeleton and a few pumpkins. And it's like, see, this human being made a drawing, and it's like it actually looks more period accurate because this takes place in the 70s, so it looks more period accurate actually to eye from this human being rather than the AI created eye. And something else I'm seeing is that I see some people would say, well, it's one thing if a blockbuster or a big budget project is using AI, but because it's an indie project like this, we shouldn't, we should be a little not as hard on the project, be more forgiving towards it. And personally, I'm thinking, actually, no, I think we should be even harder on a movie because it's indie and it's still willing to use AI. Because my reasoning is, if it's indie, you would think, oh, it's gonna have a more creative heart to it, at least, or at least, you know, it's gonna take all the resources, you know, be a little scruffy about it, get all the material together, and just make a movie as good as it can be. And I have higher standards set for an indie movie. But if an, even an indie movie is gonna be willing to use AI, when again you could have hired a graphic designer, then it's like, oh, that's why I'm even more disappointed in you now. You're willing to go to the soullessness of generate of generative AI that steals from other people's art. And I don't like I don't really feel I don't know about if I'll be watching it even when it drops on Shudder eventually. I don't even know if I'll stream it. Maybe I'll sail the high seas for it. I don't know. I don't know if I even want to do that. I don't know at this point, but I just know in general we have to be firm about this. And other people, like in the sack, because other people worked on the movie, the crew, you know, they all put hard work into it. David Dasmalchian, he's a character actor who I have lots of love for. And it feels like this movie was supposed to be like a showcase for him. And the AI, why does it have to infect the movie? And even the director, like the two directors for the movie, right, the director pair, they came out and gave a statement to Variety and were like, oh, they claimed they experimented with AI for three stolen images, which they edited further and are used as very brief interstitials in the film. And I'm just like, I don't know, that statement from them and Variety doesn't make me feel any better. Also, you could have just, no, you didn't need this. You didn't need this. It's just, and also something else. And I feel like I'm kind of rambling on about this, but I guess
No.
one more thing I would say is that, one more thing I would say is that, oh, I've seen some people say, well, our understanding of generative AI, especially in Hollywood, has evolved over the past couple of years. And the production for this movie was 2 years ago. So people are saying, well, maybe it was thought of as more acceptable to use AI 2 years ago. But since then, things have changed, so we should be easier on the movie. Again, my counter to that is, well, our understanding has changed. So maybe you could just be like, oh, you know what? Let's not use the AI. Interstitials that we had originally decided to use 2 years ago. Let's cut them out and let's just replace them with human-made interstitials.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, I 100% agree with you, and it's a shame that an indie film took the bait on being, one of the first movies to do AI.
Yeah.
But for my worst week ever honorable mention, I have to give it to Olivia Rodrigo's Plan B booth being banned. If you guys
Oh.
don't know, but she was distributing free contraceptives, guys, as a woman. Knowing how much it is to get Plan B or, any sort of contraceptive over the counter in the pharmacy. I thought it was awesome that she was distributing free morning after pills at her concerts, but days after the American singer was praised for encouraging young people to take responsibility for their sexual health. Of course, they were deranged, very prideful people who think that that was very distasteful of her to do, which, by the way, like, I understand that she has like teenagers like going to her shows, but I think this is like such a positive way to show like sexual care, especially for girls who probably don't have that availability of sexual like reproduction classes. I worry about the American educational health, especially. But the fact that these
Yes.
booths will now not be available at her concerts, I think it's a shame. I think it was really a missed opportunity for literally what she's trying to convey for little girls. And when I say little, I mean like 15, 16-year-old girls who are, questioning about sex at that age, and why not be safe about it and honest? And I don't know, Olivia Rodrigo is freshly, 21 years old. I feel like she's not shy when it comes to being rebellious, especially, I mean, she's wrote it in her music, especially on her caption for her birthday, where she joked where she can now legally drink at a bar. I don't know. I just love Olivia Rodrigo, and I'm pretty upset about this. And yeah, it's definitely a worst week ever for me. Also, I wanted to put Neve Campbell, who is now joining the Scream series. We all know that she was
Yeah, Scream
pulled
Seven,
out.
Scream Seven.
Yes, she was pulled out of doing Scream 6 because she was not paid enough. But now, since everyone from the cast of Scream 6 has basically pulled themselves out because of their attachment to Zionism, now they have, I don't know, I feel like, so I don't know if this is real or not. So this is all alleged, guys. I will post this on the show notes on the links. But there was a few likes that Neve Campbell did like on her Instagram that people are now posting on, Twitter and, the investigations out there right now, where she was liking posts literally about Israel and Zionism, so on and so forth. Basically, very anti-Palestine. And it's just a shame that this is what it took for her to, join forces with Scream 6, or my bad, Scream 7. But the fact that she is joined, I mean, like, I'm not surprised that we see Julianne Margulies, we like see all these like people that we thought were, very smart people, but they end up being not too smart and actually really just not historically right as well. And yeah, that was something else that was a worse week. It took me a little time to like investigate and talk about this Neve Campbell of it all, because we were all like, does she really get paid a lot? Like, what did the production crew do to get her back in good graces with her? And also knowing the fact that Jenny Ortega and I am it's Michelle, right? Michelle Barrera.
Melissa Ferreras.
Okay, my bad, Melissa, who, got everything pretty much taken away from her. She got dropped by her agency, got dropped from the movie, all because she just posted a
Not
funding.
yet. Not yet from the agency. Not yet from the agency, but the agency was thinking of dropping her.
Oh, okay.
But
So
not
I
yet,
must
not
have
yet.
read that wrong, but thank you for correcting me. But yeah, it's just a shame to see Neve Campbell joining Scream 6. I did hear talks of Jennifer Love Hewitt doing not really a reboot, but basically just a new follow-up series of I Know What You Did Last Summer. So I'm here's to hoping that
Yeah.
Jennifer Love Hewitt has her heyday and really gets the recognition that she deserves, because I remember there was a bit of a campaign of which movie's better, Scream or I Know What You Did Last Summer, because they came out kind of in the same time, and also Jennifer Love Hewitt and Neve Campbell was in the cast of Party of Five. So yeah, they are Scream girlies for sure, but what a shame. Did you have any
It
thoughts of
really is
that at all?
a shame. Okay, so I'll say about Olivia Rodrigo first. You've brought it up because I was actually considering using that as one of my options for like one of the worst recap options, but I decided not to. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, and I just want to add that. I mean, you basically said what I would have said, but yeah, it's just I think we do. The sex ed in this country needs to be improved, and I think that there needs to be less shame around giving proper sex ed towards teenagers, towards the youth, the younglings, and just letting them know, hey, condoms and Plan B, these are good things to use. If you're gonna get horny, do it safely, okay? And that was admirable. What Olivia was trying to do, and they did. They're still doing a thing where, like, oh, you can still mail in the supplies, but I don't know. Just like having them handed out right at the events, that was such a great thing, and it is sad that some people just could not take that. No, they oh, so prudish, so prudish. So yes, that is very disappointing. And then also for Neve Campbell, I mean, honestly, like it again. You brought it up. I actually have that as one of my worst week ever things here. So I'll just save my opinion for that when I actually get to that.
Oh, okay. Is she your well, that's a perfect segue to our runner up. So, worst week ever, runner up, who do you have this week?
Okay. Well, it's actually so. I did want to say I do have another honorable mention that I want to quickly mention.
Oh,
And
perfect.
that is actually that is Gina Carano, who got popped up in the news again just for a bit. I feel like it was a small moment, honestly, compared to other stuff, but she popped up just a bit again to talk about her career, and she just seems like very grumpy about things, like, I'm a transphobe, but I don't want to be a transphobe in Hollywood. I feel like that's her general attitude. And she talked about Pedro Pascal, how it seemed like, oh, like he was trying to help her out, like, oh, like, just put trans rights in your bio and to stop people from harassing her. And the way she even paraphrased, apparently, his words seems iffy. Like, I'm not sure he said it exactly that way. I wouldn't necessarily trust a lot of words from her mouth. But yeah, in general, I just think, yeah, he earns an honorable mention here because I think he is quite, again, quite set in her transphobic ways. And I appreciated her back when she was on The Mandalorian. I thought she, I liked her role on there. But hey, after finding out about her ways, I'm just like, you know what? I'm glad you're not really around anymore, and you can go be grumpy off by yourself now. Go be grumpy with your transphobic ways. Oh.
That is a good one. And now
Yes.
for your worst week ever, runner up. Who do you have this week?
Yes. So, well, you brought up Neve Campbell earlier, and well, she is my worst week ever runner-up, and you were pointing out the stuff that was happening with her, so what I remember when I first found out in the news, I'm just reflecting on this now, and I'm just like, again, so disappointing, kind of like with the late night with the devil, and I would say this hit me on a more personal level. On a more intimate level, because Scream is my favorite horror franchise, and I just have a lot of love for the movies. And then I found out, oh, Neve Campbell is gonna be back in Scream 7, with by the way, Kevin Williamson, directing the movie, and he's like, and Scream is basically his baby. Like, he was the writer for the first Scream movie, as well as a couple of the other Scream movies, and so now he's gonna be directing a Scream movie for the first time, and it's just really, I just feel like Neve Campbell has basically thrown her morals away in order to take a paycheck from Spyglass, from the Zionist studio that has the rights for Scream, and they fired Melissa Barrera because she decided to speak up for Palestine, and they accused her of being anti-Semitic and for spreading false references to genocide. Which, wait, am I allowed to curse in this show?
Oh, of course, go ahead.
Okay, just want to make sure. Fuck that! Fuck that noise! Like, false references to genocide? I think false references to genocide, my ass. Like, I've just been so glad to see Melissa just keep being pro-Palestine and keep posting stories on Instagram, and that's great to see. And then also, so Neve Campbell, she, because to bring this more into context, what happened with, Scream 6, which she had brought up before, she was, Spyglass wanted to give her a lower pay rate for Scream 6, and she was basically like, well, fuck that. And she turned down the chance to be in Scream 6, and she pointed out how she felt like if she was a man, she wouldn't have been treated that way. And Melissa was totally behind her, supporting her multiple times throughout the press for Scream. And now to see Neve not return that support back to Melissa, it feels, it adds, it just really grinds a knife deeper into my heart. Like, not only are you taking the paycheck from Spyglass, but you're also not even giving the support back to a co-star who had your back while she was doing the press and while she was out in Hollywood. And now it's just like,
I think that's the what's even more disappointing is that these ladies were all united and were all supportive of each other. And the minute that these, I mean, Jenny Ortega, she kind of copped out her excuse by saying that she will be doing, she'll be in a production of another movie, so
right,
the
scheduling
timing schedule
conflict.
was like out. But
I don't really buy that though. I feel like it was a lot more than just, oh, a scheduling
yeah.
conflict.
So like the lines are blur over there, but the fact that like they were both publicly supportive of each other because they both spoke out on like, support of each other when they found out that, Neve was not going to be part of it. That I think that's what's so disappointing is that like she could have gone that route of also supporting these ladies and like done something else, but instead like she signed the deal with the devil.
Yes, and it is extremely debating, and I for one am planning to boycott Scream 7. I don't care. It's just like, nope, not watching it, not giving Spyglass any of my money, because guess what? That's how they determine what to make next. Oh, what can you get away with? The fiscal motivations, the money. So no, I'm not doing that for Scream 7. No.
So
Oh.
for my worst week ever runner-up, I am nominating it to TikTok being banned. I don't have TikTok. I'm not too sure if you have TikTok or follow or
I
use
do.
it.
I have, yeah.
I know this is really bad for content creators, people who like make a living off of the app. And, people are very much believing at the fact that they are banning TikTok because, of the information and propaganda that is informed that, it's they try to relate it with Twitter, but like it's not really necessarily the same. Nor do I think that the UN and Congress and is really even want like wanting that or is focusing on that. I really do think that it's because it has some sort of flow of money that we the US Congress is probably doesn't have their toe dipped in, And that is why they are threatening TikTok. But yeah, worst week ever. My runner-up is TikTok for being banned. I do feel like there is some sort of a watch out, beware for the creators, you know, people who make a living off TikTok. Like I said, I really do think that they're coming for the little people if they do not get their way with TikTok in whatever kind of deal ends up being. But I don't see this being good for, I mean, I have it in my bingo card that I'm hoping that there's going to be a new social media app that overpasses TikTok. You know how like we had Vine, like I wonder if TikTok will be like another Vine or another Snapchat. Like I know Snapchat is trying so hard to be relevant again, but maybe
Snapchat.
Snapchat will buy TikTok. You never know. Like, you never know if like another app is gonna like, you know, to enhance. I
Yeah, all
don't
these
see Facebook buying
corporations.
TikTok at all, but that is my worst week ever runner up. For worst week ever winner, who is your worst week ever winner this week?
Well, for that, I do want to say just a bit about TikTok first. It is, I'm very disappointed in that too. As I said before, I use TikTok as well. And thankfully, the ban is heading to the Senate next. So it just got passed by the House. It's going to the Senate next. So hopefully it can be averted there, maybe. But if not, then oh, we've got, I think it was like a 6 month time limit after that, but and then it'll be officially banned. But yeah, just really exasperating. But yes, for worst week ever, my winner, that honor goes to J.K. Rowling for her recent, well, because you know she started out with a transphobia, but then he decided to creep over into Holocaust denial by denying the fact that Nazis were transphobes and they burned books on trans healthcare and research. And even though it's like, do your research, J.K. Rowling, you could find that out and find out about the bigotry, but now you're just engaging in Holocaust denial. And even apparently, so the Wikipedia article about there's a Wikipedia article about trans people in Nazi Germany, and it's been updated now to include the Holocaust denial. So whoever did that, damn, you moved fast, and good for you. But it's really, it's so deeply bothersome to just watch her hatred evolve. She is so stubborn. No, she just will not
It's gotten
free herself.
so
Not just gonna
sad.
hate this.
So sad, baby girl. So sad. Like, I cannot believe the delusionalness of her thinking of being a Holocaust denier now. I was literally having this conversation with a friend this week where, you know, conspiracy theories like flat earthers and like there are people out there that do not believe the Holocaust even existed. And as someone who had, like, I grew up in northern New Jersey, there's the diversity there is like, you know, it's impeccable how much of a like a melting pot. Like, I'm so lucky I grew up in a very diverse like part of like America. And just the fact that, like, I had Holocaust survivors come to my school talk about, like, you know, their stories and just, like, you know, World War II, the history. Like, I've had teachers, like, it's just mind-boggling to me that, like, history is literally being told lies. And now we have someone who we used to admire, like, the fact that she brings out Harry Potter books, you know, like was a very magical time for millennials. And yeah, this same person is now like doubling down on delusionalness. Wow, that is a
Yeah,
great
because
worst
Harry
week ever
Potter.
winner, Arthur. Like she
Yes,
reminds
because
me so much of like of a Bethany Frankel where she is just like falling, falling, falling. Like I have to mute her.
yes, because Harry Potter also, I have nostalgia for Harry Potter. And I've read all the books, I've seen all the movies, and when I was a kid, like Harry Potter was part of my world, and I have love for it, for the stories and for the characters and the Harry Potter universe, but it's been weighed down so heavily by Rowling herself, and I'm just like, why must this tell this narrative that is founded on love? Like, it ostensibly professes, oh, love is the most important thing in the world, the most powerful force in the world, and yet the author herself isn't capable of expressing love and understanding towards the trans community.
Yeah, no, that is such a shame, and I'm just so disappointing. I'm actually excited to mention my best week ever, but let's move on to my worst week ever winner for this week, and I obviously have to give it to Dan Schneider, guys. Nickelodeon's Quiet on Set documentary has been literally having everyone talk about Dan Schneider when I was trying to talk about him 4 years ago when Jeanette McCurdy came out with her book, I'm Glad My Mom Died. And also, I did mention before about how Ariana Grande, there's been so many videos, disturbing videos that had aired live on Nickelodeon behind the mastermind of Dan Schneider. Also, they did not touch base in the documentary about Amanda Bynes, but it does lead you to think and wonder what that relationship was like, Amanda Bynes and Dan Schneider. But yes, Dan Schneider this week was outed for all his disgusting fetishes that he aired on Nickelodeon, which happened to be a kids' TV show. It has come out that he was splitting women's salaries from the writer's room. Like, he really did not treat women equally. He also had favoritism. He definitely pitted co-stars against each other just so they can cause drama between themselves. Also, he was inappropriate where he was asking these young starlets, especially random women who were working like in hair or costume, requesting massages from the women who worked on set. Dan
Gross.
Schneider also came out with a YouTube video. I know guys have been, not guys, I know people have been, backlashing on the Hollywood Reporter, thinking that the Hollywood Reporter came out with this interview themselves. But honestly, guys, the Hollywood Reporter was just reporting on a YouTube video, and that's how it got friction because it was actually on Dan Schneider's YouTube site himself. So that whole interview is scripted, it is produced, it is, directed by Dan Schneider. So it's not a real true interview. If the Hollywood Reporter did have access to do a real interview with Dan Schneider, it would not be set up in some sort of like, it wouldn't be this. I will put it on the show notes so you guys can see it and also read the article about Dan Schneider and his past with Nickelodeon. Again, this is a man who publicly just has no shame. And I don't really think he is feeling remorse, nor do I think he thinks, like, I really do think he doesn't think he's guilty, nor does he think that what he did was wrong. His apology is trash. And yeah, worst week ever winner. And I hope Jeanette McCurdy is having a beautiful day.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah,
Did you have any thoughts at all on that docuseries? Did you watch it?
I have not seen it, no, but I have generally been knowing about the news and like just in general over the past, I would say, couple years or so, I have been aware of how abhorrent he is as a human being, how utterly repugnant he is, and now It's just we're getting more and more of the information, and I think that when crap like this happens, it always forces you to confront the fact that we know about the stuff happening now, but remember, there's still a whole bunch more of this shit happening behind the scenes in Hollywood.
I
And
also mentioned that, like, when Jeanette McCurdy's, because obviously she was in my best week ever, I did mention that he is protected. Like, that man is protected, and it goes all the way to the top. Like, he's not the only one that is doing what he's doing. Like, they're all just focusing on him and targeting him. Because, like, I can see him throw. I'm surprised he doesn't throw people under the bus. I really don't think he's that smart. Because there are more people, like, again, like in the docuseries, there are writers. Jeanette McCurdy has written in her memoir that she went out with a writer who was like 15 plus years her age, when she was like 16, 17. It just gets dirtier and dirtier. Ariana Grande, let's not forget her best friend Liz, who also was in Victorious with her, is married to a past producer who was on the show. That's how they met. And he is 15 plus years her age. Like, it's outing Dan Schneider, but it's also like the cracks are going to show, and it's going to expose everyone else who deserves this exposement. And I have to give kudos to Nicola Alexis, I think her name is, from Zoe 101, Match the Source. She Eat the Predators, I think, is her podcast. I'll put it on the show notes so you guys can follow, because she did a great recap of the interview. I highly recommend watching it, because as much as scary as it is, it's fuck like all you can do is fucking laugh at how, like, this man really thinks he deserves some sort of sympathy. And yeah, that it's just like a worst week ever for me.
yes, very fitting, very fitting. And I feel like they all do. Don't they all have that kind of attitude? Like, oh, I'm the one in the right. I'm the one who has all the power. I'm the arrogant one here.
Exactly, like untouchable. Like, yeah, it's scary, because if he's acting like this, I'm pretty sure 10 other people higher than him are acting like this too.
Absolutely.
Let's move on to our best week ever, because that got a little dark. Best week ever, honorable mention. I have to give it to Queen of Melrose. Do you know who Queen of Melrose is?
I don't think I'm aware of this. No.
So their name is actually Cosmo, and I actually came across from them on Twitter, because on the Madonna show, apparently there was no big bags allowed. You had to park like 10 blocks away. I'm pretty sure this is the LA show. And there was a disgruntled Madonna fan who turned into a meme queen with her emotional storytelling.
So we're here at the Madonna concert. Okay, here we are at Madonna. Okay, $80 to park the car like 10 blocks away. So I just got my cardio. I need an oxygen tank and a cigarette at the same time. Then they say no bags. Now, is this a big bag, guys? Come on. It is. But these girls have little bags, and look. Check them in, no bags. They said you have to have a clear bag. When was the last time you worked at Macy's, bitches? I can't. I just want to see Madonna.
Ask Madonna what's up. Like, what's the
Madonna, what is going on? You owe me a t-shirt, bitch. And a lap dance. Yes! I'm excited.
I just love how, like, this video literally went viral, and everyone has been like, oh my God, who's that? Is Cosmo the Queen of Melrose? Have you seen this video at all? She's like, so I just got my cardio. I need an oxygen tank and a cigarette at the same time.
I don't think I've seen this. Weird. I'm trying to remember, but I'm like, out of all of the news pieces, all of the people I've seen, all the memes I've seen online on social media, and trust me, I'm chronically online, but damn, I must have missed this somehow.
I am a Madonna fan, so I don't know if that makes any But like, I just love how she's like, Madonna, what's going on? You owe me a t-shirt. And saying, what else did she say that she cracked me up? Oh yeah, we're because I did go to a concert, a stadium concert, and they were allowing as if your bag was big, it had to be clear. And I was like, what is this?
Oh.
Macy's? Like Sears? Like when I worked at JCPenney, you know what I mean? Like where you had the see-through bag and that was like the only way you would be able to go in and out of work for break. But yeah, I just loved her so much and I hope she gets more recognition and I hope that Madonna like invites her to a lap dance. That would be amazing.
Yeah, it's very fun. I'm definitely gonna have to check this out
I'll
for
send it
myself.
over to you.
Yes, please do.
Who do you have for your best week ever on honorable mentions?
I have two. So I have Nicholas Galitzine and Renee Rapp, because
Ooh.
for Nicholas Galitzine, I just. It's been fun to watch to follow him for recently. I feel like for, I mean, not even just recently. I feel like for a while, I've been like, oh, he's an interesting actor. I'm gonna keep up on him, and especially after Red, White, and Royal Blue, and now he's got the idea of You coming out with Anne Hathaway, and I don't know, like I've seen the way he interacts with fans. Just this one video I watched where he was taking photos with a fan, and I loved how he was taking multiple photos with a phone. And like that's good. Like he's a celebrity who knows, hey, take multiple photos, press that button multiple times to get a good photo, in case maybe some of them are blurry. And then there was another interview where he talked about Bottoms, which by the way, I love the Bottoms, and he was in that too. And he was talking about that movie, and he pointed out how sapphic content is still a bit of a bare space, and it's important to watch Bottoms in a community. And he was saying it borders on cold classic material, which I agree, I think it does. And I just find it really fascinating and great to see. Like, it feels like he has respect for queer media, and he even knows to use the word sapphic. Like he was using that, he knows that word. So he keeps up to date on the queer community, and it's just I don't know, like I just I it's been great to see it's been great to see how he's been his career has been evolving, and to see him with his fans, and I'm excited for the idea of You. I'm excited to see that when it comes out, and then for Renee Rapp, he has an honorable mention for me as well because of her going up on stage at the Glad Awards and supporting an immediate and permanent ceasefire, using those words specifically in her speech, and also advocating, urging others to advocate for this matter. And I just found that to be really powerful for her to do that on stage, especially the wording, immediate and permanent ceasefire. And I feel like that was really crucial to get that wording down on stage when there are so few other celebrities who are willing to do that as well, who are willing to summon up that courage on stage in Hollywood.
I know. I wish we had more of that instead of just pins. Like, I really do appreciate the pins at these award shows, but like, if I can just get the energy of Mark Ruffalo and everyone who's
Yes.
wearing those pins, I would be satisfied.
Yes. I think yeah. On the pins, I want to point out especially a lot of people are wearing ceasefire pins, the Ceasefire Now pins, or artists for ceasefire. I really appreciate seeing people wear the Palestine flag pin.
Me
For example,
too.
a couple of the actors from the movie Anatomy of a Fall wore those pins at the Oscars, which was fantastic to see.
Yeah, the f unfortunately, the French cannot do wrong when it comes to politics right now, I guess. Yes, going back to Nicholas, I think it is because he has become like eye candy overnight. With his friendship with Camila Cabello, the movie Idea of You with Anne Hathaway, and yeah, the whole relationship press junket of with him and Julianne Moore. I thought that was so much fun. Like he's a cutie. Love to see it.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I'm saying this, because I remember actually being skeptical about him at first, because I remember seeing him back in Purple Hearts, which I must say, to put it lightly, I did not care for Purple Hearts at all. No. And he was one of the stars in that movie. So I remember watching that and being like, oh, I don't know about you. But then he showed up in Red, White, and Royal Blue, and then I was like, oh, okay, I like you. And then he was in Bottoms, so and I'm like, okay, I like you more. I like you more. And now the idea of you is coming out and just,
I love that. For best week ever runner up, I'll go first. I feel like I'm probably gonna put my foot in my mouth by nominating this person because if you Google her now, it won't be for the good things that she was saying a couple days ago. But Miriam Margoyles, she is known for her role as Professor Sprout in Harry Potter. We were just talking about Harry Potter. She has been coming out with some great zingers, basically saying, I don't like America. She turned down a movie role because she didn't want to live in Georgia for 4 months. She also said that Harry Potter fans need to grow up. She heard about a fan having a Harry Potter wedding, and she just doesn't understand when does it end, pretty much, for millennials. She also has had so much respect because she is Jewish, and this is her quoting, I'm Jewish and I've never hidden that, but I don't in my heart believe that Israel should have been brought into being because in order for it to be brought into being, other people had their lives and their lands taken away from them. So she's a proud anti-Zionist. She has been outspoken of her disgust at Israel's treatment of Palestinians and has visited Gaza herself once before and the West Bank several times. She also has supported Emma Watson when she, expressed her support for Palestine as well. She said, I totally support Emma Watson's recent remarks on Palestine. Aussies and people should too. The Israeli treatment of Palestinians is disgraceful. Anti-Semitism is not an issue. What matters is opposing cruelty, speaking out for compassion. Criticizing Israel is not in itself an anti-Semitic stance. Conflating the two is a form of disguised censorship. End quote. But yeah, I think she's been having a great time just like being honest and, just laying out facts too. She's not lying, and she's saying it in a polite way too. If you were to see these interviews live when she talks about her confusion of why fans like she's like it's been 20 years like let's do something else kind of a thing. So she's definitely on my best week runner up, best week ever runner up, Miriam. Have you seen any of these viral clips going around?
Vanessa, did you take a peek at my list? Because I've got Miriam Margoyles and my best week ever runner-up spot.
No. I'll add on to that, and I love that she's part. I don't know if you saw, if you Google her now, she's underwater right now for asking a interviewer if what color they are, like if they're brown. And I'm just like, girl, you were in such a good
Wait,
run.
what? Wait,
Yeah,
what?
Google it right now. If you were to Google Miriam, I'll do it right now on
Oh
the screen.
no! Oh
Yes.
no!
So it's like just a shame because she literally had such a great week of just spewing out honesty, and now like it's all awash because she asked, "What are you, by the way? You're sort of brown."
Oh my God! Oh wait, apparently the host kind of laughed a bit, and he said he replied, "This is a really interesting question, actually." Oh my God!
But you know how people are going to take
Miriam, Miriam.
that.
Oh my God.
But I love that she's your best week ever runner up. Did you want to add anything on to like what I said?
Well, yes, I'll add on to that. First, I'll say her asking that to the reporter. No, please do not. Oh my God, that's like a question that, oh my God, an elderly person, yes, would ask, or even someone who's like 50 or 60. Oh my God, no. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, please don't ask that question. No, but. Yes, I put it on my bed and my rental spot because I mean you were laying out the details here pretty damn well. I'll add on that. I mean, her saying specifically about hey adult Harry Potter fans telling them to grow up. He said specifically, if your balls have dropped, then it's time to forget about it. Which, oh my goodness, but I mean, I can guess where she's coming from, especially for Harry Potter specifically. And I feel like in general, maybe like, and I'm someone who like I love a lot of fandoms, but or like I love a lot of different like pieces of media, different fictional universes. But I do feel like it's healthy to not let that overtake your life, not become obsessed with it. And especially for something like Harry Potter, which I gotta be honest, I feel like Harry Potter, if you're gonna be obsessed over a fictional universe, absolutely obsessed, maybe Harry Potter isn't the best choice to go with considering Rowling. And so I can sympathize with Margot Robbie here just being like, hey, you know what? You gotta grow up here, come on. And on top of that, her rejecting the chance to play a role in the upcoming Agatha series from the MCU over a pay dispute. And that was also really amusing to hear about that. And apparently, when they contacted her, she was like, oh God, not witches again, because I've done that with Harry Potter. And she went on to say, I don't like America. And I didn't want to be in Georgia for 4 months. So I just said, well, I want £1 million. And they said, you can have £500,000. And I said, no, I don't want to do it. So it just stopped. And I feel like her doing that is just like a big middle finger. Like, hey, you know what? I don't even want to go to America, so I'm gonna charge this much. And if you reject me, then hey, I win because I don't have to go to America. Yay. But if you do accept me, you want to pay me that much, then I still win because hey, I get a whole bunch of money in my wallet. And that it's just like oh, I do appreciate those zingers, those jabs. And yes, her being a pro-Palestine is also great as well. I do wish though that she had not sided with J.K. Rowling back in 2022, was saying like, oh, maybe you should ease up on J.K. Rowling, which is weird because Miriam Margolyes in general has shown herself to be a trans ally, but in 2022 she was like, oh, ease up on J.K. Rowling. Granted, 2022, I feel like J.K. Rowling's transphobia in 2022 was, I don't know, just a tad less venomous than it is now. I don't know if Miriam Margolyes would still defend her now.
I hope not.
Yes.
But yes, yeah, such a great best week ever runner up. So apologies if you are offended from the last thing that she did say this week, but everything else, gold. For my best week ever winner, I am nominating the Emily Henry book. If you guys love Emily Henry, she's done Book Lovers. She's a good beach read. I've read a couple of her books. She actually has a book called Beach Read and Meet on Vacation, People We Meet on Vacation. But Book Lovers is one of my favorites out of the books that she did write. I think she's also written Happy Place. It's just kind of like a very love rom-commy horny book. I highly recommend for like a day out at the pool or on the beach or like, just enjoying a day at the park reading this book. But the reason why I'm putting it on my best week ever winner is because we did see photos of Paul Mescal and Ayo Edebiri on St. Patrick's Day. They posted a photo. She posted a photo on her stories. Happy St. Paddy's Day. We all know how much Io is a Irish sister, and we just found out that the Book Lovers movie set with After Sun producers Tango, they have decided to come together to make Book Lovers into a movie, and we all know that After Sun had Paul Mescal in that movie. So we're hoping that we will probably see these two together in a rom-com. I've been saying it for a very long time that we need a new rom-com. I would love it if Daniel Radcliffe and Quinta Brunson got together. But the fact that an Irish kind of an, I know you just saw Irish Wish, But an Irish kind of a movie, love rom-com, but the fact that Book Lovers is probably a probability in that list. I am putting it out there in the universe. I'm hoping all these rumors are true because the Beach Read director did repost about, After Sun Production picking up this movie. And yeah, there's just like a lot of little Easter eggs being shown to us, and I've been picking them up. I've been seeing it, and yeah, it's my best week ever because it is kind of
Yay.
of a wish. You know what I mean? It is all alleged, and this is not all true facts, but just knowing that this can be possible was the best week ever for me, fictionally.
Emily Henry, I'm glad to pick that because Emily Henry is an author who I vibe with. I've actually done a whole podcast on Beach Read with my friend Anna on Two Cents Critic. And that was a great time. And Book Lovers, Book Lovers, Book Lovers is just something, it's breezy. I can flow along with it, and I'm just
And
looking forward to the adaptation news.
I
And
love a good rom-com where they don't like each other and they end up liking each other. Like, I love a good story.
yeah, the kind of like enemies to lovers or dislike to lovers or rival to lovers. I do vibe with those tropes, and especially if Paul and Io were to star in a rom-com together, that would be splendid. And by the way, funny story. I'm looking forward to Emily Henry's next book there, definitely. But yes, I'm glad you made this choice here. Yes, Emily Henry. And in general, I'll say to the listeners as well, like, hey listeners, if you haven't read Emily Henry's books yet, I definitely recommend picking one up. I'd say specifically, like, yeah, Beach Read or Book Lovers, one of
Happy
those two
Place is pretty
particularly.
good too, but like if you want to start somewhere, I feel like Book Lovers is such a good one to read. Like,
Yeah, I will say Happy Place, I thought it was okay. Like, I gave it 3 stars on Goodreads, but it wasn't. Like, it didn't reach the high levels of Beach Read or Book Lovers,
I
but
didn't get horny to sorry to TMI, but I did not get horny until like chapter 20, and like Book Lovers,
understandable.
you're it's already hot and heavy.
Yeah, I'm actually curious now. What are your thoughts on People We Meet on Vacation?
People we meet on. Oh, I have not read that book yet.
Okay. I was kind of ambivalent on it. Looking back on it, I'm like, eh, maybe it's pretty good. I don't know. It does use some tropey stuff where I was like, eh, I'm not fully happy with this. But like, I feel like even a middling Emily Henry book, I feel like it's better than some of the other rom-coms or in general books out there, for me personally.
Yeah, I'm manifesting it, guys. It's also in my bingo card, 90s rom-com. Let it happen. Who is your best week ever winner this week, Arthur?
Well, my spot there, the best week ever winner, goes to Jonathan Glazer,
Yes.
who is the director of The Zone of Interest, and he made his Oscar speech when he won for that movie. And so it's not just because of that, that's not just why I'm giving him the spot here, but that is important though, because his speech where he like the words he shows specifically to say, oh, I refuse Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation. He said that on stage. While, by the way, Len Blavatnik, a producer for the movie, who is apparently a far-right Zionist who has strong financial ties to GOP causes, to Trump and to Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. That producer, that Zionist, was standing right behind Jonathan Glazer on stage. So I can only imagine how terrified Glazer must have felt when a
His
Zionist is
hands
right
were
behind her.
shaking.
I mean, yeah, so that's why he was reading off the paper, and his hands were shaking, yeah. But so courageous there. But then after that, The Zionists have just reacted to him so fiercely, so much so that there has now been a letter. And that adds on to why I'm putting him in the spot here, because there's been a letter where over 1,000 Jewish creatives, Hollywood professionals, executives, they have decided, hey, we're going to denounce Glazer's words with our letter here. People like Eli Ross, Jennifer Jason Lee, Deborah Messing, Gary Barber. If no one knows who Gary Barber is, by the way, that is the CEO of Spyglass. Remember Spyglass, the studio of the spy that fired Melissa Ferreira? So yeah, that makes sense, huh? So this letter came out, and it's really depressing to watch this happen. But I'm putting Jonathan Glazer in the spot here, best week ever winner, because I think that his words have aged really well. It has made some Zionists extremely terrified. It has made them go, oh shit, oh crap. He's standing against Israel, against Zionism. We must push him down. And I think it was brave of him to go up on stage like that. I do hope that he doesn't get blacklisted in Hollywood. I know that he does come from the UK, so I've seen people say, well, maybe he can still make movies over in the UK, and it's not like he makes movies very often either. He's kind of director, he's kind of filmmaker who only makes movies maybe once every 10 years or something like that. But even then, it's like the UK, it's not like the UK has been necessarily any better, and the UK media has necessarily been any better towards Palestine. But in general, I hope it doesn't get blacklisted, but I just, again, the courage and ways in which his words have horrified Zionists, and I just feel like that courage and that bravery, that spirit needs to be acknowledged. And I do hope that there is more of an organized campaign to defend him, because we have letter condemning him. Now we need more people riding up behind him. And some people have, for example, Zoe Kazan tweeted in his defense. Boots Riley also defended him. And in general, Boots Riley has been very like vehemently pro-Palestine. And also Tony Kushner also recently spoke about him defending him on a podcast. And I just, you know, the courage, the spirit that people like him show, and like Renee Rapp, and Melissa Pereira, and Mark Ruffalo, we need more celebrities like them. And also Macklemore. Also, shout out to Macklemore for his pro-Palestine stance. But yeah, Jonathan Glazer, he is my best week ever winner spot. Yes.
That is such a great best week ever. And yeah, I feel like this is so inappropriate to say it, but like, kudos, mama. Thanks for spilling. Like, I don't know if you watch RuPaul Drag Race.
I don't, but I hear a lot of the memes from that show, and a few of my friends love Drag Race. So I hear a lot of the chatter from my friends, and also just from social media.
It was just appropriate because I agreed with everything you said, and it's just like, yes, there's just, I don't know what more to say of like with what's going on. And honestly, if you are still defending the Israeli government with all this information that you have been informed and the history of just Palestine, like I have nothing for you. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. And one more thing, before I forget to mention this letter, by the way, the Variety originally had it so that you could click a link and you could sign the letter yourself. And that was such a dumb move. Like, why would you do that? Open it up to the public. I clicked on the link. If I wanted to, I could have signed the letter. And it's just like, why would you do that? And now it's been closed down. Like, the link has been shut off now, which is like, I'm sure people were probably submitting fake names, you know, to the letter, probably. I don't know, just like messing with it. But yeah, that was really dumb. But yes, Jonathan Glazer again. Best week ever.
So we are now at the end of my show where I ask my guests what their favorite song is from the early 2000s to 2010. I'm super excited, Arthur. You brought in Complicated by Avril Lavigne. Can you please tell me, the year is 2002, by the way. Please tell me, where were you when you first heard this song and what makes it your favorite from that era?
So I can't remember the specific place, but because I heard this when I was very young, but I know just in general, I most likely heard this for the first time when I was in my mom's car, just as a wee little child, just riding along, and I probably heard this in her car when she was playing it, whether it was on the radio. I think she might have had it on one of her little cassette tapes. And just in general, I heard it probably in the car, and I just remember even when I was a child, I just remember finding it to be an infectious bop. It's a pop rock song that has continued to stick with me over the years, and even now, like, I still appreciate it as a song that's about being true to yourself and openly expressing that to other people, rather than performing a false exterior. And again, just it's infectious, incredibly infectious. And I am so glad, so damn glad that Bottoms, one of my favorite movies of 2023, included it. And not only included it, but also, like, the song, if I remember correctly, the song played almost in its whole entirety for that movie. And that was really great to hear that. In general, Bottoms is a wonderful addition to the gallery of lesbian and queer cinema. But yeah, Complicated by Avril Lavigne. That is the song that I picked here. Oh, such a great tune. I was even listening to it last night,
It's
listening to
still
it.
so good. Like, I love playing that with my child. Like, she sings it with me. And yes, I am pretty sure that Avril okayed the movie Bottoms because I can totally see her loving that movie as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh. Again, like I that was so I remember because I remember hearing that the song was gonna be in the movie, and then the song was playing while I was watching it, and I was like, "Yay, it's here!" And then the movie goes on and on for another couple minutes, and I'm like, "Wait, the song is still playing! Hot
Yeah.
damn, they're using pretty much almost the whole song."
It's hilarious. Thank you, Arthur. Can you please let my listeners know where they can find you if you have anything to plug in with your podcast, Two Cents Critic?
Well, first off, I want to thank you so much, Vanessa, for inviting me on to be a guest here on your show. This has been a blast. And you can find my podcast, Two Cents Critic, on Twitter at @2_CentsCritic, on Instagram at @2CentsCriticPod. And Two Cents Critic is all about reviews and recaps of books, movies, and TV shows. So definitely tons of episodes there. In fact, actually, as of this recording, it will be almost hitting its 3-year anniversary, which
Oh, nice.
is just really exciting. Just, oh, I've been
Congratulations.
in the game for so long. Yeah, thank you.
That's a
And
huge deal.
definitely, thank you so much. And also my personal account. I also have personal accounts on Twitter, GoodPod, StoryGraph, Letterboxd, and TikTok at Arthur_Ant18. And I'm on Goodreads at Arthur Howell. You want to check me out there? And even you want even a blog at 2centscritic.com. And you can email me at 2 cents. And you can also email me at email at 2centscritic@yahoo.com. And I also want to take this time to, I want to say not only would I love it if the fans here, the listeners, check out my show, but also I feel like this has probably been pretty clear before, considering I was talking about Palestine earlier, but also just want to call for an immediate and permanent ceasefire, in the light of this current genocide, and say that I support a free Palestine, and I'm urging everybody to publicly advocate for these causes, because this is a campaign of genocide and ethnic cleansing that Israel is committing, and we need to do everything we can to stop it.
Hello, love, why have to go make things so complicated?